Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Today, we're really alive. I mean, we're alive with Dr. Jill Hubbard. Jill, hi.
Hello.
If you look at the YouTube channel, the New Life Live YouTube channel, you will see that Jill always dresses alive. And then Jim Burns. Dr. Jim Burns is full of life. He's the guy that I trust the most. I'd tell him anything. I know he's always going to be there for me. Jim, welcome to New Life.
Great to be here. And Jill is, she dresses colorful, and I realize... I think I'm wearing the same color you are on here. We are talking about this on radio.
Yeah, but, I'm blue.
Are you in blue? It's just kind of blue. Just
you look great.
Blue.
Well, but anyway, but maybe that's just the YouTube channel. Well, we have been on a program together, and I thought it was just fantastic to be with you, Jim and Jill. And so, maybe you're listening, and we're in the studio right now. Who knows? 1-800-229-3000. But I know this, we've got some things coming up that could change your life. And tomorrow is our Repurposed Life Conference. And we're going to be talking about what is the forgiven life like when it's repurposed. And I'm going to be talking about what are these vows and false assumptions that destroy us in a reactive life, such as the vow, I will never trust any other man or any other woman ever again, or a conclusion, a false assumption, all men are this, or all women are just after this, something like that. We're going to talk about all of that, the things that stand in the way of God using us and fulfilling our lives and His purpose in us. And it all came from Misty and I doing the one-year Bible for women. She did that. I did the one-year Bible for men, where we were writing a 100-day devotional for every day of the year. In February, I come to the reading for this day. Over in the Old Testament, Aaron is worshiping a golden calf, and in the New Testament passage, coincidentally or not, Peter is denying he ever met Jesus. And here is God's first hire as high chief priest, and he's worshiping a golden calf. If you've ever made a bad hire, God knows what that's like. I mean, you can't get much worse than that. Well, until you go to the New Testament, and one of Jesus' disciples is saying, out of fear, I never knew who Jesus was. Mm-hmm. Now, did he take away their calling? Absolutely not. He restored Aaron to the priesthood, and he restored Peter, and Peter was the rock, and Peter did what he was called to do. You may be thinking you've lost your calling. We're going to prove to you this weekend, tomorrow, if you'll sign up, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, God is not finished with you yet. It's a repurposed life. It's a recovery conference, and I hope you'll join us. What do you have to say to that, Jim, Jill? Any thoughts?
I think it sounds really exciting, and I'm excited for all of those who get to go.
Yeah, I just keep hearing every time I'm with you all that, at these conferences, life transformation happens. And you know what that says to me is there's hope. Even if you're in a tough situation, there's hope. But you got to roll up your sleeves and lean into it. And that's what you do when you go to something like this conference.
Yeah. I tell you, when I was in college and pressured my girlfriend to have an abortion and then woke up to what I had done about 3 days later, almost died from the ulcers in my body. There was nothing, they were just the guilt and shame having a physiological effect. Do you think I thought God was done with me? Absolutely. I thought I was finished. I thought I had done something. I had destroyed my child, a life created by God, and I didn't think there was a path back. But there was, and I'm so grateful. And that same path is there for you. We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. I'll tell you about a conversation we just had. We were talking about life, and we had a young woman that lived with us for 2 years, and she thought she was the least valuable category of human being in the world. Even Christians, she said, thinks that it would be okay if she hadn't been born. Why? Because she was conceived in rape. And she hears these people say, well, of course, I can understand if you're raped, you would want to have an abortion. Well, I can't think of anything more horrific than being raped. I mean, horrible. But the research shows that women, it doesn't help them to abort that baby. In fact, eventually they start to feel like they were an aggressor, as the rapist was, that they aggressively destroyed this life. And if we can just help them, they would see that some of the most amazing human beings are conceived in rape. Mm-hmm. I don't blame you, shame you for whatever you would do in that situation, but I'm telling you, it doesn't help to destroy that life. Remember the great hymn, His Eyes on the Sparrow? Remember that? Ethel Waters sang that at a Billy Graham crusade. That's where I heard it. Ethel Waters, what a singer. She was conceived in rape. You should see the amount of people. If you just Google conceived in rape, you will find some of the most incredible human beings were conceived in rape. There's a whole list of people that were conceived in rape. I've been telling people for years, this universe is 93, the observable universe is 93 billion light years wide. That's 93 billion times 5.8 trillion miles. That's how wide it is. And we've spent billions of dollars, Hubble, now the Webb telescope, Voyager 1, Voyager 2. Not a bleep, no static, no nothing. No neon light on some store at night from some far distant planet. Nothing. No life except one place. Right here. We're a universal anomaly. We are. Hardly ever happens. Think of how big this universe is. And there's only one place there's life. Right here. Everybody ought to stop every second and go, wait, another conception. Whoa, it's amazing. It happened. But we do not value life like that. But I'm telling you, this is the place where God breathes life into us. Given the fact that it's such a rare occurrence in the universe, and we have it, doesn't it make sense to live the very best life that we can live? I think it does. That's what I'm trying to do, fail every day. Let's talk to some people here that have called us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go to Rick. Rick is calling. Listens on
Hello?
Us. Yeah, hi, Rick. I think you listened to WRJZ out of Oliver Springs, Tennessee. How can we help you today, Rick?
Yes, sir. Well, I've been married 49 years. And 2 years after my wife and I were married, we became Christians. And, of course, that changed our whole life there, but not completely. We've had a 49-year dysfunctional relationship, and we have 4 kids. And the dysfunction came at a, which I knew nothing about when I got married to her, came at a time when she was a 10-year-old child. She was sexually abused by her older brother. And she feels like her mom and dad knew what was going on in the house and didn't do anything to protect her.
Wow.
And when she got into some Christian counseling a couple years ago or so, the counselor tried to approach her from both of those situations and try to get her to see what was going on and admit things and all. But at this point, now she's passive aggressive completely to me. She, pretty much in her words and actions has told me that she didn't want me involved in her life at all. She doesn't say she wants a divorce, but she said, I have my money and bills, you have your money and bills, and we kind of live in different rooms. I'm always in the dining room. She's always in the living room watching TV. We're in different bedrooms. But when I try to talk to her, she doesn't want to talk because of this passive-aggressive thing that she's gotten into. And so she'll just grunt or look at me and not say anything or be as short as she can with an answer or say she has to go and do something. Mm. When I try to talk about counseling, she says, well, I don't want to go someplace where it's not going to really matter or make a difference. But I'm really not even sure at this point because she's so so negative toward me that she'd even want to respond to anything I'd suggest. So I really don't know what the next thing is to do.
And so that's your question, what's the next thing to do?
Yeah, or what can I do to get to her at a certain level, maybe that she'd at least go to some counseling. Mm-hmm. I guess I just need to ask her at first, but I'm pretty sure that she'll just discount it.
Yeah. Let's ask Jill, what's the best chance of getting to the heart of a woman?
I think that reading How We Love and considering to go to the Intimacy and Marriage Conference would be the best chance. I think when she's saying, I don't want to go do something that doesn't work, okay, I believe in counseling. I think that everyone should go to counseling. But when you're in a situation where somebody is more invested actually in things not working, you need something to help open them up. And an hour, people can stay closed. So being immersed for the 48 hours where you're hearing really good information. So that helps to kind of prime the pump, right? You're hearing things that make you go, oh, I never thought about that before. I never looked at it that way. And so then that brings about some hope and some willingness to be able to look a little more closely at your own stuff. And you're not just the only one on the hot seat. Right. So that helps, too. Sometimes in counseling, someone who has past abuse, it's like, well, I don't want them poking in about my life because, you know, she's learned to keep a lid on it. But it's really leaking out right now. And it's all getting dumped on you. Right. The hostility and the anger she has towards you is about a lot of things.
49 years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been consistent for 49 years.
Well, and here's the thing. Resigning yourself.
I have my side, too.
Well, and you have to own your part because that contributes, right?
Right.
But resigning yourselves just to live parallel lives, that is just going to the lowest, you know, minimal life possible. And I just think God has so much more for both of you. Than that.
Yeah.
And I think you may have to say to her, I'm willing to look at all that I have done and contributed here. But living I think we're selling ourselves short and we're selling God short.
All right. Yeah. Very, very wonderful there, Jill. And let's hear from Jim. I want to hear what Jim has to say. That was really, really great advice.
You know, Rick, Jim? You're living in a tough situation. Yeah. You don't want to keep doing that. And if she's not willing to go to counseling, I'd go to counseling if I was you. I would just get as healthy as possible, and walk through whatever other issues there are. But you can also learn some things. I mean, when a woman has been sexually abused at age 10, obviously she's closed up. And when you married her, you might not have known all that, but that, you know, Jill used a word, leaking, and that, you know, it leaks out. Anger leaks out. Frustration leaks out. She's dealing with some of that with you because of a past experience. You can't change that. You know, somewhere she has to hear, and now I'm going to play Pastor Jim for a minute, but there's the shortest verse in the Bible. You know, I learned it in youth group. Jesus wept. Well, Jesus weeps at her abusive situation. That's horrible. You had nothing to do with that. And frankly, she didn't either. It was because of a horrible situation, and Jesus weeps at that. Somehow she has to understand that as time goes on, that Jesus truly does weep. The only other practice, so I would say I'd go get as much help as I could from if I was you. And, you know, I might leave the dining room and go sit in whatever she's doing. If she's watching television, what if you moved in next to her and sat by her, even if it's, you know, a show you don't like or whatever, just to say, you know what, I'm not going anywhere. I want to teach you one, and then I'll close here, but I want to teach you a Hebrew word. And the Hebrew word is ahava. It's one of the forms of love, but it's not love as a feeling. It's love as an action. And it's actually ahava love is the kind of love that a person has, which is a commitment. You've shown ahava love because you've been married for 49 years. That you just have to. I mean, my wife and I, we were in a situation, you know, it's been several years, but, you know, I said something and then she said something and, you know, it escalated. And so we took a time out and I came back and said, you know what, you're not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. You know, can we work out something? And you know what, that was a hobble love, because right then I didn't even like her. Okay. But I wasn't going anywhere. And by you even getting the help you need and then going and sitting by her at television or whatever. But when she sees you getting help, it's just possible that, you know, you're sitting there and then at the commercial you say, hey, I want to tell you something I learned today in counseling about me. You're not even now pushing on her to go get help. Here's what I learned. And it may invite her to a different level of wanting and desiring to get help. So, you know, it's a thought.
Yeah. Okay.
I like it.
Now, I want to just share something with you. Hold on. Go ahead. What do you want to say?
Okay. She had said to me probably about 5 or 10 years ago, I asked her, why are you treating me so badly when I didn't do anything to you? And she said, well, I'm still mad at you because you didn't make me do the right thing. And I just couldn't understand what that meant.
Okay.
But then as I thought about it, I realized, yeah, her dad and her brother didn't do the right thing, so then she can just put me in the same group.
Right, okay.
I didn't do the right thing for her.
So what is at play here? You still have the one thing that brings hope to a situation like this. And I don't want you to lose that. And if you got counseling for no other reason than to not lose the thing that brings about hope, do that. And the thing that you have is humble willingness. Willingness is what God uses to transform lives and marriages. She is not willing, and you can see who damaged her and all of these things. And so we see this kind of stubborn resistance from the most damaged people, and you still have compassion for her. You understand the source of this. I've seen situations where the nicest men married to the abused spouse are treated worse than you would treat a criminal. And when that happens, I want you to know you need to protect yourself. You need to leave and not be there. You also need to not try to win her heart. Just be nice and kind, because that's the right thing to do. It's hard to explain it, but I want you to do it without expecting a result from it.
Right.
Because you're not going to get that result until some crack in the wall happens.
Maybe never.
And so here's what I want to tell you. I just did a program with these two, and I told them this. People that go to our intimacy and marriage conference, some people hate each other. They have restraining orders against each other. They can't even stay in the same room. We got about a 95% success rate. And people that I've asked to go there as a last-ditch effort, I don't know of any of those that have ever divorced. And then there are situations like yours. You're not going to divorce, most likely, but you're in this horrible state, undivorced.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you somehow could ask her humbly to do the one thing that has the greatest chance of helping the two of you live out these last, however, 20, 30 years better than you ever dreamed, would you just come with me to this one thing? It's in Dallas. Our next one is in Dallas in October. What's that?
Another big, the big motivation for me is really I'd like to get this worked out before I die for my four kids.
Yes.
And that's
and
right.
Let them see, you know, what can happen.
You may,
you know,
you may need
know how functional we
yeah.
are.
You may need to ask your kids to help you. Help you just inspire her to get help. That's it. Not make her look bad. Just inspire her.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
That's right. We do not charge for that phone call, and we give you every penny of your money's worth when you call us and we help you. We're committed to that. By the way, Lumina, as you know, we had Jen Wilkin on the beginning of the week. J-E-N. W-I-L-K-E-N. Just Google her and listen to one of her podcasts, and you will want to go to Lumina November 3rd and 4th at Museum of the Bible. It is our new women's movement just starting. Here's the motto of Lumina. It's where women rise. How? With the truth of God's Word. It's going to be fantastic. Jen Wilkin, Lauren Green, McAfee. There's a guest speaker that has a story of being involved in one of the largest ministries ever. And before the person died, he said to her, "One day you will regret that you ever knew me." And she had no idea what he was talking about. But she does now. She's going to tell this story. It's incredible. Google Nicole C. Mullen if you want to see a performer perform inspired by Christ. I mean, I just... Her song, "I Know My Redeemer Lives," oh my goodness. She's going to not only perform that, she's going to speak. And then if you just want some help, if you want to be lifted up, if you want to rise or a deeper understanding of the Word of God, go to Lumina November 3rd, 4th. All you have to do is go to newlife.com, click on the Lumina banner, and it tells you everything that you need to know. Aluminum. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, November 3rd and 4th. I would like to talk with Nancy. Nancy is calling from Hyattsville, Maryland, and she listens online at newlife.com. You can also listen on the app or watch us on the New Life Live YouTube channel. Hi there, Nancy. How are you?
Yes, hi. How are you?
Very well, and I'm wondering what's on your heart today.
All right, so my heart is beating super fast as I'm getting ready to share this information about my adolescent son. He's 15, and the issue we're having is we're trying to get him to stop accessing pornography online. It started when he was in eighth grade a couple of years ago during COVID, and he got really hooked into it. And when we realized it, you know, we were trying to find different ways to address it with him, being very directive, cutting back his social media access. It got to a point where it spilled over into problems at school, and his school had to bring him in with some consequences and some really punitive things around his electronics use. We were then referred to a therapist outside of the school who deals with a specialty in this area. But it seems like everything we're doing, he's still finding ways to access it. And when he does, he lies about it, doesn't admit to it, can't remember, on and on. So we're having a really hard time trying to get him to admit to it, face it, and stop the behavior.
Okay. So the question for us is what?
How can we help him? What are we doing wrong? What else can we do to help him stop this behavior?
All right. Let me ask you a quick question. What kind of phone does he have?
So he has an iPhone, and it has parental, you know, guards on it, and so he's really whittled down to almost nothing that he can really use it for. But what he's doing now is he's going through his school's computer, which he has to use during the day, and we take it in the evening, and then he's been opening up other email accounts.
Yeah. So here's what you do first. You take away his iPhone, because most kids learn to override these things. They're brilliant, okay? You take away his iPhone, and you give him a flip phone.
Okay.
That's it. That's the first thing you have to do.
Okay.
That says to him, oh, they're really serious now about this. And then...
Okay. That's simple.
He must never use a computer, laptop, or anything at home unless he is doing it under supervision.
Yeah, which we're now doing.
Okay. And then you ask the school, yeah, who has called this to your attention, to help you. He must not,
yeah,
have access to his Chromebook or whatever they use unless a teacher gives it to him. So,
okay,
somehow he has to take that computer from one class to the other, hand it to the teacher in the next class, and he doesn't get it unless they need to open their computers. And then he is,
okay,
forced to close it and take it to the next class. Now, he may do something in those 3 minutes. I don't know. It's the best I can come up with, but he must not have free rein at school, lunch, all this time, breaks, to have access to his computer. So now, I want you to hear from the expert on all of these kinds of things with Dr. Jim Burns. Jim, what do you think?
Well, Nancy, I agree with Steve, and it's not easy, but the truth is your son is a porn addict.
Yeah.
And you have to treat him as an addict. That's why Steve is so tough on all those things. And I think it's really important when we come back from this break for us to kind of develop a plan. How do you help him say, it's not this, but it's this, and teach him a healthy way of looking at sexuality? Because right now he's got a real warped view. And I think there's some good answers we can have on the way, on the back side of this, to help a young man who is like millions of other young men and women who are addicted to porn.
Yeah. And so you do everything to literally stop his access, and it doesn't happen with just filters. Then you do what you can to now help him, which may be some, well, Jim will tell you those things when we get back.
I was really living a very anxiety filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the one-year Life Recovery prayer devotional, the New Life journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jim Burns, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and we love helping people find the path to transformation. One of the best is Dr. Jim Burns, and he is going to tell Nancy, after I've pled to restrict access to anything on the internet the best you can. Now, Jim, what are the other things to put in place that could help?
You recognize, you do all that, you restrict, and you take away access as well as you can. But at the same time, addicts are going to figure out, right? So, you know, I think there's two things. One is teach healthy sexuality to him. What happens, and he's not like going to go, oh, hey, let's have this conversation, but you know, buy or get the book. I'm sure that New Life will send it to you. Every Young Man's Battle. It's a healthy view of sexuality. At the same time, it talks about, you know, porn and the negative side of porn. So, Nancy, it gives you the chance to say, you know what, honey, it's not this, it's this. God created sex. God sees it as good. We look at the opposite sex. Right now, he's looking at porn in such a negative view. We look at the opposite sex as beautiful because God created sex in the context of marriage, and you talk about all the good things. And what I like to say is you kind of create what I call a theology of healthy sexuality. You know, theology means study of God, and God actually says, he's the creator of it, and he gets a bad rap for this. But the other aspect is he's going to need not only some teaching on it, but he's going to need accountability. I don't know anybody who's ever, you know, gotten away from porn without some accountability. Mm-hmm. And so even a book like Every Young Man's Battle and even Every Man's Battle workshops, those kinds of things, that's what they teach them. You can't just go, we're going to take it away. You do that, yes. But now you have to say, and here's what we're going to replace this with. And when you do that, that helps. Because think about what happened to him. There's an escalation process. He viewed pornography. His mind took a picture. He became addicted, simply saying, I want more. Then it escalated. Then he got desensitized. And then you begin to act it out. At least online, you're acting it out. And sometimes you want to, you know, do it in person. You want to stop that. The way to stop that is to give him the tools. Because I bet you he feels loads of shame. And he wants to stop. He's probably prayed to God for that. So the answer isn't just, I mean, block it. But then give him the help and the tools that he needs. I'm not sure he has that yet.
Well, and so a lot of youth groups even now are having like young men's groups where they're addressing these issues. So he needs to be with other young people talking about these issues, right? And having men pour into his life. But I think also looking at where are the areas where he feels bad about himself, because this serves a purpose, right? It's now habitual, but the degree to which he is looking for it tells you how bad he feels about himself, right? Because they stumbled onto this. You get a hit from it, right? And it gives you a boost, and it takes you away. And sometimes it's the kid that doesn't feel accepted, doesn't feel like girls would like him. Whatever it is for him, you've got to speak into those things too.
Yeah. Let me make one more comment, two more. One is the temptation is always to say, oh, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Shame is not something you want to inflict on a boy that's 15, because shame drives men, women, 15 to 55 to 95 back into whatever's unhealthy. What you want to do is to help him see that this is a common problem that people are getting help for. Every Man's Battle has now, we're at 4 million because it wasn't shameful. It said, this is everybody's battle. It took the shame away, and men read it by the millions. And our Every Man's Battle workshop is a shame-free zone. Having said that, Jim has recommended Every Young Man's Battle. We'll send that to you. But my son, James, I mean, he is the most incredible human being that just graduated from college with a not-for-profit management degree. He is fluent in Chinese, wants to go there and minister. And how did he stay pure? He read Jim's book, The Purity Code. He didn't just read it. He lived by it. And he's still living by it, Jim.
Wow.
And so I don't know if I've got one around here or not, but could you send him one of your books?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Glad to do it.
I mean, it's so powerful.
Sure.
I would love to tell her that one of my sons is a great man because he read one of my books. I don't think any of them have read any of my books. But Jim, your book, The Purity Code, really made a difference in his life, and I think it will make a difference in this young man's life. And what you said about accountability, you have to find a youth leader who knows two other people or even one other kid that's struggling and get them together. That's why we have Alcoholics Anonymous, is one struggler helping another change the course of history.
Well, and we have to remember, too, that he's at the prime age where his brain is spiking with dopamine. So he is pleasure-seeking. So it's even more so, right, that he's moving towards pleasure and away from things that are bad. So we need other pleasurable things.
Yes.
As I lovingly say, don't let dopamine make you a dope. You have to manage these surges, please. Speaking of surges, there's a surge of love and energy that just walked in the studio. Larry Sonnenberg is here.
Hey, Larry. We're feeling it,
Larry. Felt it all the way there. Yeah.
Larry, I was just praying that the Netherlands would lift all restrictions on vaccinations so some of the last-minute folks could go on the cruise. What has happened in the Netherlands?
Well, shockingly enough, your prayers have been answered.
Oh, my goodness, it happens.
The government of the Netherlands has decided to lift the European Union entry ban for the Netherlands. As of this week, September 17th, it means no COVID-19 related restrictions or requirements apply to travelers entering the Netherlands.
Amazing. Why didn't they do that 3 months ago? Never mind.
I'll get over
that resentment.
Well,
but people can still sign up, right?
They can still
October
sign up.
6th.
We took a sign up yesterday. Somebody signed up. Yeah. So there's still time. If you want to go on a cruise, it'll be a lot of fun. It'll be entertaining. There will be teaching from Steve and Mylon that will be special. Our theme is Psalm 145, the greatness, 145, God's greatness, the greatness of God. And we're just going to have a good time together. This ship is incredible. I haven't been on this particular ship. This is the newest ship that Alma Waterways runs right now. And it's a spectacular trip. It'll be.
I love the talks Mylon and I are giving. One of my talks is on fear, fire, and fun. So there you have it. I mean, it's all about the wonder of God. We worship a God of wonder, and so many people do a lot of things, but they've forgotten God will help you create wonder. I wonder what you have to say next, Larry.
Well, next is Every Man's Battle coming up in Orange County the 7th, 8th, and 9th of October. And I want to read something, a paragraph from a long letter a lady wrote to us when her husband went last year. My husband's experience at the Everyman's Battle weekend has been totally life-changing for him, me, and our marriage. He came home a very new and different man and husband. He learned so much, and his heart was miraculously changed. Praise the Lord. He mourned what had been lost and the wasted years. He was in pain over the pain he caused me. He said deep healing words, shared real feelings, expressed a lot of emotion, many tears, which has not happened before. Only God could have done this amazing work, and I'm so thankful to Ian Every Man's Battle for investing into Luke and other men that were there and all the families that will be positively impacted for years and possibly generations to come.
Absolutely.
God was truly worked there. The healing process has begun, and we can tell this time it's different.
Unbelievable. I love it. I mean, it is believable, and Satan is not happy about that, and that's just wonderful, wonderful news, and that has happened thousands and thousands of times.
Beautiful.
So, folks, if you want to have that same kind of experience or even the opportunity for that experience, you won't get it sitting at home thinking, I wish I would have gone.
Yeah.
Make a call, 800 New Life. Tell them you want to sign up for Every Man's Battle or at least learn about it and see what we can do to help you. And ladies, if you want to urge and encourage your husband to do it, that's okay. I stand at the door and ask the guys, everyone that comes in, how'd you learn about this weekend? And I bet you 50% say, well, my wife told me about it.
And here's a phrase that really seems to get a man's attention. If you know what he's doing, and you've caught him, whatever, you say to him, well, I've been thinking about this problem you have. And I think the least you could do, given the amount of hurt that I've experienced, the least you could do is spend a weekend working on that problem. And I want you to call this number. The least they can do is this. I mean, really, given the hurt, the pain, the betrayal, it's the least you can do, men. And a woman who asks this is not overreaching.
Mm-mm.
You're asking for the minimum. Give me 3 days, Friday afternoon, all day Saturday, Sunday till noon. Give that to me. 48 hours is really the least they can do. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you this, the most impact is there.
That's the gentle request. Some women tell their husband, you go or we're done. I get that answer too.
That's
at the
door. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more about Every Man's Battle or how to give to New Life.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and people have been holding. I am so sorry, but this is the last call I can go to. And if you'll try another day, I hope you tomorrow, if you tell the call screener I was holding and they didn't get to me, that puts you at the front of the line. So let them know that. Call back. But I'm going to go to Debbie from Arlington, Texas. KWRD is the station. And Debbie, you are on with Dr. Jim Burns, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and Steve Arterburn.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. I'll try and be quick. I'm calling about my 7-year-old granddaughter who really struggles with, I don't know if it's ADD or I don't think it's ADHD, but it's really becoming a problem at home and at school. I mean, she just will not stay on task. Her parents have to constantly tell her, go get dressed, go brush your teeth. Her teacher said she comes in and she'll put her backpack away and then she just kind of sits down and stares. I mean, she relies on the other kids as far as what to do next.
Okay, so let me ask you this. You can't tell us, you don't need to tell us anymore. We get it. She has it. So what has been tried to help her?
Yes, well, last year in school, they did give her some accommodations. I don't know exactly what all that was other than putting her in the front of the class so she's less distracted.
I mean, what have you done to treat the actual ADHD?
Well, I don't know that they've done anything. She's asked for strategies, but she really didn't get any help from the school psychologist.
Uh-huh.
She was evaluated by that person, I guess, but like my daughter-in-law said, it was just fill out a bunch of forms. We'll have a Zoom meeting. I mean, she really hasn't been evaluated by...
But have you tried any medication for her?
No, and that was my question.
Your question?
I feel like she... Well, would you advise that for a 7-year-old? I mean, we think that she needs it, but I think my daughter-in-law is reluctant to start.
I'm going to turn it over to Jill, but I want to answer that, and then I'm going to let Jill help you here. We never want to see a 7-year-old on medication unless the 7-year-old has tried everything else, and that becomes the solution. But when that is the solution, we welcome the fact that there is medication. And this sounds like she's a really tough case, but I just wanted to say that you know, medication isn't a bad option unless nothing else has been tried first. When that's been tried and it doesn't work, like accommodations, these kinds of things, then sometimes medication, everything is different. Jill, your thoughts?
So, Debbie, good that the school is recognizing this. I think they need to take her, though, to an outside evaluator, pay the money to get a thorough workup done, right? Because it's likely ADHD, but you want to rule out, is there any trauma that has happened to her that would make her highly anxious and distracted? Are there any other processing issues that are problematic? And even within the ADHD, it can manifest in different ways. So are there some specific learning disorders that she may have? So just a thorough to kind of exhaust and make sure you've got a correct working diagnosis. And then there are therapies that she can go to that are educational in nature that will address her specific problems. And so I don't know the resources in your area, but it takes a little bit of research, but getting hooked into those kinds of things. Certainly doing the behavior mod portion that the school is trying to do is a good thing to help her to optimize her learning experience. But this kid is going to feel different, too. And sometimes when they're anxious and restless, then they have problems with their peers as well. So you want to add in as much support as possible to address, you know, what her specific issues are. So I think, yeah, and medication might be one piece of that.
It could be.
So what I hear them saying, Debbie, and they're right, is, you know, you want an assessment. You really didn't get an assessment yet. And so you want to go to somebody who can do an assessment. My personal testimony is that we have a daughter, and this is the kind of thing I do. And I said to my wife, she doesn't have ADHD. I know it. This is what I do. Well, we took her for an assessment. They went through a clinical assessment, and within 10 minutes, I was listening to the questions. I went, oh my gosh, she does. I missed it. Okay. So then what you do is you assess it. So now you know for sure what it is. And it's please hear what Jill said. There could be other issues. But, you know, then you try, you know, there's natural things that you can try. There is behavioral issues, obviously. But, you know, I think you and your daughter become the experts on this, and there's books and resources. So our testimony is that our daughter had ADHD. Mm-hmm. We ended up having to put her on medication, which worked for her. Mm-hmm. This is a kid who's now a teacher and is doing amazing things and did great. But we also had to learn that when she was very young, we had to hire a coach. It was actually just a neighborhood girl who would help her with homework because it was a hassle for us to always be nagging and fighting. So there's things you learn. Well, we learned those in reading resources on this. So that's what you do. When your kid has that, if your kid has another issue, you become an expert on that, whatever it is. How do you become an expert? You read a few books. You get the help you need.
I'm going to send you Understanding and Loving the Person with ADHD. Yeah. And I think it gives you the upside. Secondly, I want to say, don't expect the school to solve this problem.
Yeah.
They have a lot of kids. Your kids have this one child that they need to deal with. Now, it's a gift. You just have to get her to the place where she can experience the gift. I have it, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. I'm telling you, it's the greatest gift God gave me. Here's what happened to me. 30 years ago, I would buy a New York Times big old newspaper, and I'd sit down, and in 30 minutes, I was through with it, and I'd go on to something else. I was told I had this. I went to a psychiatrist. He prescribed a medication for me. The next Sunday, I sit down with the New York Times. I get up 4 hours later. What in the world? I mean, I wasn't trying. I wanted to actually read and see details and things. It was such a dramatic change. And then I was able to manage it better. Now, I'm always changing medication because what works one year doesn't the next. And sometimes you go back to the one that did. But if she can find somebody that can help her manage the medication, if that's what she needs, it'll be the greatest gift you ever give her. If she doesn't need it and she's given the medication, it will have no impact whatsoever. Or it will cause her to go even more manic-y because she doesn't have it. When it's the right medication for the right problem, it literally lowers all the distraction and helps the person to focus. What we're saying here is God gives us gifts. They come in strange forms. And one of those gifts is a brain that has created medication to help. And we never want somebody on it if they don't need it. But when they need it, it's not right to withhold that because of some principle we have when that could be the key. I've had a pastor in my office say to me, I take antidepressant medication to keep me preaching. It's the same depression medication that I used to preach against because I preached against all medication. You don't have to be the other people like that to learn from. You can just learn from them. Others are committed to being the others that people learn from. Don't be that. If you want some help, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live.
To Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.